And I am intentionally redundant because most of the times our minds have been fed so many negative things until we have to keep hammering away at the false concepts with the truth until our individual consciousness accepts the truth and we are set free. I say, whatever good you want, get full of the feeling. If you want to be healthy, and you don't have to be sick to pray the prayer for health, if you want to be healthy all of your days in this dimension, in your consciousness, in your own mind, entertain the thought, the belief, the feeling of health. Get full of the feeling of health, and that will keep you healthy. It will heal you if you're sick.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hello, everyone, and how are we doing today? This is Ali West here with the Kinetic Fitness Show, and this is episode number 23. Thank you for being with me once again, if you are a returning listener. If you are a brand new listener, I welcome you to my show. Thanks for being on board. After you've listened to this podcast, I hope that you go and listen to all of my others and catch up. But if this is the first one that you are listening to, then again, thanks for being with me. And I have another great podcast lined up for you guys today. Bit of a different one today. I am going to be on the podcast on my own today. I have no guest. I'm just going to speak to you about myths and lies within health and fitness. So the problem with my industry, with our industry of health and well-being and health and fitness, is that there is a lot of different ideas. There's a lot of things said, and sometimes it can be a bit of a minefield when it comes to exercise, nutrition, and just general well-being. We're constantly bombarded with different ideas and different forms of information, different protocols, different systems. And for the average person, it can be really mind-boggling and mind-blowing, and it can be a struggle to know what's right and what's wrong, and also what is going to help you and benefit you and what isn't. So in this podcast, it's not going to be a long one. I'm going to keep it quite brief, but I'm going to go into 5 health and fitness lies, what I think are confusing people and stopping people from progressing and ultimately achieving fantastic levels of health and wellness. These are my opinion, and they're also from my experience as well. I have over 10 years of experience in the fitness industry, not as much as some people I know, but I have done a lot of my own research. I've trained thousands of clients over the years, and I'm also what you'd call a human guinea pig. So I've done a lot of experiments on myself and also experimented with others as well to see what works and what doesn't. So these 5 areas, or these 5 lies that I'm going to talk about in today's episode, are, in my opinion, real big problems within the industry of wellness. And you would have heard of, I'd say, at least 4 of them, if not all 5 of them. And you may have even had these lies said to you, but now when you hear them, you'll have the information after listening to today's podcast of how to debunk these lies and tell people, no, you're wrong, and you'll have the information to back it up. I will point out now that all of these 5 statements, or these 5 lies that I'm going to talk about in this podcast, can be put into individual podcasts themselves. I could easily take each one of these and do at least a 30-minute episode on each one. And what I'm going to say to you guys listening in is, if you do want to hear more about any of these lies or any of these individual areas that I'm going to cover today in a more detailed podcast where we take a deep dive and I can talk about it myself or I can get a guest on, then please do let me know. Send me an email to ali.west@kineticfitness.co.uk, or send me a direct message on Instagram. My Instagram handle is aliwestfitness. And we can dive into these in more detail, go into a lot more detail about why they're lies and how we can debunk them even more and even further. But for today's episode, I'm just going to touch on them briefly, explain to you why I believe and from my experience why I think they're lies, and then you will have some ammo and some arsenal to hit people back with when they come out with these lies. I'm going to do my very, very best to make this episode, unranty, if that's a word, less of a rant, because it's easy for me to sit here with the position that I'm in as a health and fitness professional and just rant at people. But I don't think that helps. It's good to have a little rant every now and again, and we all love a good rant. But what's better is if I can educate you and if I can supply you with the knowledge and the tools that you can take on board and put into practice in your everyday life, rather than me just shouting at you and barking stuff at you. I think it's much better if I give you the tips, the tricks, the information to take away and implement. I believe this as well, if you are a fitness professional and listening to this, so if you're another personal trainer, or I know I have other therapists and practitioners listen to my podcast, if you're one of those guys, then take this on board so that you can educate your clients even further. Don't think that I'm having a go here or ranting, and I would never put another professional down. I'd rather educate them and give them all the tools they need to progress themselves and their career. So here we go. Let's get stuck into these. Let's get started with the five lies in health and fitness. Five big ones and five ones that I hear a lot, and we are going to educate you in today's episode. Here we go then with health and fitness lie number one. And just think about this and think to yourself if you've ever heard anyone say this to you. And I'll go through a few examples of people that might say this to you as well. But this is health and fitness lie number one. Your glutes aren't firing. How many times have you heard this from personal trainers, fitness professionals, physiotherapists, and other healthcare practitioners? Your glutes aren't firing. I'm going to tell you now, this is an absolute lie. It's strictly and simply not true. Let me explain without going off on a whole half an hour explanation of why this is a lie. Let me just explain very briefly. Your glutes, particularly your glute max, your gluteus maximus, is your biggest muscle in your body. The glutes are huge muscles. Everyone knows, all you have to do is look at the surface area of your bum muscles and know that they are big muscles, or the glute max is a big muscle. Biggest muscle in your body. This muscle, it just can't not fire. It has to fire. If it didn't fire, if it wasn't working, then you wouldn't be standing up. Physically, you wouldn't be standing up. You wouldn't be able to get up and down out of a seat if your glutes weren't firing. So for someone to say to you that your glutes aren't firing, it's just simply not true. It's a lie. Let me explain what I think they mean when they are saying this to you. What I think people mean when they're trying to say that your glutes aren't firing is that they are underactive, let's say. Maybe they're not working as well as they could be. And there'll be maybe one, two, or numerous reasons as to why this is happening. I won't go into that because, again, that's a whole nother podcast. But a few examples, it could be the foot load is not working properly. The hips don't work in a certain plane of movement. Maybe the thoracic spine isn't working properly. A whole host of different reasons of why your glutes might be underactive. Maybe another muscle is overcompensating. Again, that will come from bone function and joint function. But again, that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother story. And I can do a podcast on that if you guys are interested. Just let me know. But yeah, to say that someone's glutes aren't firing is simply not true. There is ways that we can activate the glutes more, and we can get them to engage more, work more effectively, get better results out of them. And there's different movement patterns that can incorporate that. I know from my knowledge of anatomy and physiology that if we get flexion in the hips, if we get adduction in the hips and if we get internal rotation in the hips, then that is going to give the glutes the most amount of activation. They're going to switch on the most because they are eccentrically loaded in the biggest way. That just means they're stretched in the biggest way. So not without boggling, guys, if there's too much science there, it just means if we get those three movements in the hips, those three joint movements, then we're going to get the glutes activated the most. So that statement, your glutes aren't firing, is an absolute lie. So if anyone ever says that to you, just say to them, look, if my glutes weren't firing, I wouldn't be standing up and I wouldn't be able to walk forwards and backwards and I wouldn't be able to sit up and down. That is fact, that is science, okay? So your glutes aren't firing is an absolute lie. Just say to them, do you mean, are my glutes underactive? And they might be like, yes, that's what I mean. Your glutes are underactive. They're not quite activating how I would like them to or how is good for your body to function and move in the way that I'd like it to move. So that's your reply to a health practitioner, a personal trainer that ever says to you, your glutes aren't firing. That's health and fitness lie number one. Let's move on. Health and fitness lie number two. And again, if you have spent any time in a gym, any time with a personal trainer, you would have heard of this one. And it is engage your core. My God, this has been a buzzword or a buzz sentence in the fitness industry for the whole length of time I've been in it, for 10 years, if not longer. People have been saying to members or personal training clients, engage your core. You've got to engage your core. I hear it in classes, particularly a lot in group exercise classes. Make sure you engage your core, guys. I hear it in yoga as well, and which surprises me because I would think that yoga instructors would maybe know better and would have a better understanding of anatomy and physiology, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, engage your core is another lie for very similar reasons that as to what I said, sorry, with why your glutes aren't firing. Like, to tell someone to engage the core is just, to me, it's a bizarre and silly statement. And don't get me wrong, I've maybe been guilty of saying this in the past, engage your core, but it's impossible. Most people don't know how or what that means, engage your core. Let's start off with what the core is or what I believe the core to be. There's a lot, again, a lot of debate around what the core is, what muscles are the core, what constitutes to being the core. But for me, the core is traditionally the muscles in your abdominals, the muscles in your obliques, so the muscles that run down the side of your torso, and the muscles in your lower back and the ones that support your spine. So let's maybe go through some of them. So in the abdominals, we've got the rectus abdominis, we've got transverse abdominis. In the obliques, we've got the internal and external obliques. In the lower back, we've got mortifidus, quadris lombardum, we've got the erector spinae. I've already named probably six or seven muscles there, and you're telling me that I've got to, with a click of your fingers and with one comment, engage all seven or eight of those muscles. It just isn't going to happen. Plus, if we are doing an exercise, particularly a traditional core exercise or abdominal exercise, or if we're doing any kind of exercises where we're physically stood up and we're doing them with correct form, then the muscles in our core should be engaged anyway. They will switch on to stabilizers. As soon as we sit down and switch off and we kind of slouch, those core muscles don't need to really engage. That's why people start to get bad posture, because they're sat down a lot of the time and the core muscles are not as active or don't need to be used as much as they need to be when they're stood up or physically doing a, inverted commas, core exercise. So yeah, saying to someone to engage the core, or if you hear engage your core, it's just wrong. It's a lie, because it's virtually impossible for us to do. Just think, like if you have to tense like that. Sorry for the sound effects, but yeah, engage your core. It's impossible. And also another thing that people do, especially people that are not experienced in the gym, that don't have a good knowledge of exercise, fitness, anatomy, physiology, etc., they tend to hold their breath. Like, so someone will say to them, you've got to engage your core. So they'll go, hold the breath, and they'll stop breathing. And if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, we've spoke on numerous occasions how important the breath is and how important breathing is. Breathing is the life force. It's the energy that is going to carry you forward and make sure that you're healthy. And the breath is so important. So if we're holding our breath, we've got a problem again. So engage your core, to me, is a fitness lie. It's a health and fitness lie. You just can't do it. You can do it if you are in correct form and doing an exercise correctly, and your abdominal muscles and your lower back muscles and your obliques are, again, engaging properly. We don't say firing, but yeah, if they're engaged and they're working to how they should be. And again, this will be affected by the movement pattern that you do. But again, that's a whole another episode. So yeah, engage your core, to me, is a health and fitness lie. That could be a whole another podcast again. I just want to keep pointing out, after each of these lies that I talk about, if you do want to hear more about it, if you want a whole podcast episode on it, then please let me know. Please shoot me an email, send me a message on Instagram, or if you are listening to this on Anchor, you can actually send me messages via the Anchor application. Let's move on. That's two we've done, and they've been heavily focused around, I'd say, anatomy and physiology of the body. So the bones, the joints, and the muscle makeup. Let's go more now into an area of training, of fitness training, and also let's talk about weight loss. So this is fitness training and weight loss. Here's another fitness lie, what I hear people say. People say to others or to health and fitness professionals that they want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. It's the most common goal in the entire world. To be fair, it's not really a goal. It's just a statement, but that's, again, another podcast. But yeah, I want to lose weight. Then I hear this lie over and over and over and over again. And I hear it now from people that are not even in the fitness industry, just because it's been spouted around so much. And this is the lie that I hear. When people say to others, I want to lose weight, I hear this lie in reply. Lie in reply, I like that, that's a rhyme. Oh, you want to lose weight? You've got to do interval training. You've got to do interval training. That is a lie. They don't have to do interval training if they want to lose weight. There is numerous ways that you can lose weight. You don't have to do interval training. You don't even have to do any cardio to lose weight. I believe that it's good to do cardiovascular exercise, not just for weight loss, but for heart, lungs, respiratory system, cardiovascular system, mental health, loads of different reasons why you should be doing cardiovascular exercise, getting your heart rate up. But you don't have to do interval training to lose weight. That is an absolute lie. It's an absolute myth. A lot of studies have been done into interval training, how it affects weight loss, how it affects fat loss. And to be honest, from everything that I've read, there's not a great deal of hard and fast research to say that if you do interval training, you're going to lose weight. There's a lot of research that justifies and supports increased metabolism from doing interval training. But just because we increase our metabolism and our metabolic rate doesn't necessarily we're going to mean that we're going to lose weight. There's a lot of other factors that need to be considered when we're talking about weight loss, fat loss, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, that statement, you need to do interval training to lose weight, is an absolute lie. You don't. There's other ways we can do it. Okay, let's move on. That was a short and fast one. I didn't spend too much time on that. But again, if you want any more information on that one, then please do let me know. Let's dive in now then to nutrition. And then the last one is going to cause a bit of controversy. See how I went in there with some Prince lyrics. I love my music. If you're too old to know Controversy by Prince, then... Sorry, too young to know Controversy by Prince, then just ignore that part. Anyway, I digress. I'm going off on a tangent here. The next one we're going to talk about, the next health and fitness lie, is again about weight loss, you could say, and about getting fat, but it's in relation to nutrition. And again, I hear this one time and time again, and I've heard it a lot more over the last few years since there's been more kind of studies and research done into this area. And this is a statement that I hear, and this is the lie that I hear. Fat doesn't make you fat. Let me repeat that. Fat doesn't make you fat. This is a lie. This is a lie. Fat doesn't make you fat. What a load of rubbish. Of course it does. Anything can make you fat. To say that fat doesn't make you fat is a lie, because if you eat too much fat, what's going to happen? You're going to get fat. The clue is in the name. It's called fat well, it's not called fat because it makes you fat, but anyway, fat can make you fat. Fat does make you fat, especially if we're over consuming saturated fat, hydrogenated fat, trans fats, all of those nasties. Saturated fat is great, don't get me wrong, in moderation. But again, if we're eating too much of it, it's going to make us fat and it's going to have a negative impact on our body. It's going to make us unhealthy. So to say to someone that fat doesn't make you fat, and the other one I hear a lot again is fat is your friend. So we'll tag them on together. Fat doesn't make you fat. Fat is your friend. It's a lie, because if we overconsume anything, we're going to get fat. If we increase our calories and eat too much, we're going to get fat, or we're going to put on weight. Saturated fat in particular, if we are over consuming this, if we're eating this, then we are going to put on excess amounts of fat, both externally, so the fat that we can visibly see, but also internally, the fat that is there for our protection, for protecting our organs, heart, lungs, liver, kidneys, etc. But we don't want too much internal fat. We need enough, but not too much. And we don't want, obviously, we don't want too much external fat, unless we're planning on going and living in the wilderness for 6 months or something. But yeah, we don't need too much external fat, because it doesn't look very nice, and everyone wants to be nice and lean and look in good shape. And we don't want to be carrying too much fat, because we all know the negative health reasons for that and what that can bring on further down the line. So yeah, to say to somebody that fat doesn't make you fat, it's rubbish, because it can make you fat, and it certainly does, and it certainly will if we overconsume it. Again, short and fast, but to me that makes sense. Again, if someone says this to you, fat doesn't make you fat, just say, of course it does, of course it can. To say that is a lie, because fats can make me fat. Carbs can make me fat. Protein can make me fat. Sugar can make me fat. Not moving enough can make me fat. So yeah, it's a lie. I say no more. If you want more, let me know. Let's move on to the last one, where we're going to cause some controversy. There I go again, singing. Yeah, I might cause some controversy with this one, but I don't want to be that person that sits on the fence. I want to explain to you and be a bit edgy, because the people that make the biggest impact in the world are the people that don't sit on the fence and that challenge the norms and that challenge the rules. And that's what I want to do with this next one. And I think a lot of you might disagree with me, but I'm going to explain myself anyway. And this is going to wrap it all up, and this might underpin some of the stuff we've already spoke about. Here's another lie that I hear in health and fitness all the time. And this is the statement that people say. This is the lie that they say. There's no one size fits all. Everyone is different. Let me read that again. There's no one size fits all. Everyone is different. This is a lie again. Yes, we are different. We look different. No two people are alike. No two irises in people's eyes are the same. No two fingerprints are the same, etc., etc. But we're all made up of the same things. We're all bones. We're all muscles. We're all joints. We're all ligaments. We're all connective tissue. We're all made up of the same minerals, vitamins, we all have the same organs unless you've had one removed. I can go on and on and on and on. We all require the same things: oxygen, glucose, sodium, etc., to function. So yes, we might look different, we might have different personality traits, we might have different features, but what actually makes us up as human beings is all the same. It's all the same. So why can't we have a one-size-fits-all? If we're all made up of the same things, why can't we have one-size-fits-all? There are plenty of successful nutritionists, therapists, personal trainers, etc., and I'm not going to name any names, but I could do, that have the same one-size-fits-all protocol program for every single one of their clients, and they still get results. They still increase and improve people's health and wellness. Let me flip this on its head, though, and let me explain where I'm going with this, so you don't start, like, you might be screaming, what are you on about, Ali, now? Let me explain. What these guys, these successful guys that I'm talking about, and I'd put myself in that category as well, because I follow the same system protocols with different clients, is that we'll have a system and we'll have a framework which is a one size fits all, so to speak, but we will adjust the framework and manipulate the framework depending on the individual. So it's still the same format, it's still the same system, whether it's Joe Bloggs that wants to run a marathon or whether it's Mary that wants to lose 3 stone, we'll still have the same system, the same protocols, and every successful coach will agree with me. And if they don't, they're probably lying to themselves and to me. But yeah, they'll have the same system, the same format for every single one of those clients, no matter what their goals are, but they will manipulate and adjust that framework depending on the individual. So you can have a one-size-fits-all. You absolutely can. And I still believe when it comes to nutrition as well, you can have a one-size-fits-all, because we all require the same things to live, survive, and thrive. We all require the same minerals, exactly the same ones. It doesn't matter who you are, the same vitamins, the same chemicals and biological makeup from our food. We all require the same thing. I can reel off to you now, if you ask me, I'm not going to do it, but I could reel off to you the safest consumables on this planet that are going to give you longevity in your health, that are going to improve your health, improve your function. And I could give those foods and those directions to 5 different people with 5 different weights, with 5 different goals, and they would still improve their health and wellness. I guarantee it. So to say that there's no one size fits all and everyone is different is a lie. And I've explained that with that last little bit. Yes, we're different, maybe externally with our personality traits, etc., but we're all made up of the same stuff. So you can absolutely have a system and have a program that will fit everyone. It's just how you manipulate that program and that system and that framework for that individual to get them the best result possible and to improve their health and wellness. So don't be frightened if you sign up with somebody, or you do an online program with somebody, or you go and see a health practitioner and they give you something that they've also recommended to their friend that's very almost identical. Don't worry about that, because those guys have a system. They have a system that they know gets results and they know works and that they know improves that person's and everybody else's health and wellness. And don't be frightened that if it looks very similar, it looks identical, because you can have a one size fits all. I'm going to give you a couple of examples so you know that I'm not barking up the wrong tree. Let's use 2 examples. First one is Joe Wicks. I'm a massive fan of Joe Wicks. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, who the hell is Joe Wicks? Then just Google the guy or search him out on Instagram. He has a huge following on Instagram. He has best-selling books. He has online training programs that have made in millions and millions of pounds or dollars or whatever currency you use, a lot of money. And this guy has helped thousands and thousands and thousands of people to lose weight, lose body fat, get in shape, improve their eating, all of those things that I am passionate about and I love to promote. He's done it and he is doing it. But he has a system, he has a framework that he gives to every single one of the people or every single individual that subscribes to his online program. It's the same for every single person. He just adjusts and manipulates the framework slightly depending on that individual's goals. And he keeps it really simple and he gets amazing results. There's one example. Another example is Weight Watchers. And we're sticking on this kind of weight loss form. And I know that's weight loss and fat loss is only a small portion of health and well-being, but I'm on this path now, so I'm going to continue with it. Weight Watchers, the most successful weight loss company in the world, ever, history, period, full stop, whatever you use. You can't argue with that. But again, Joni goes to Weight Watchers. Billy goes to Weight Watchers. They are different people, two different people, but they follow the same format. They follow the system. Weight Watchers very much has a one-size-fits-all protocol, but they just adapt it and adjust it. Can you see where I'm going? So you can absolutely have a one-size-fits-all. You can have a one-size-fits-all system and get fantastic results. And you can follow a one-size-fits-all system and get amazing results as well. So when anyone ever says to you now, there's no one-size-fits-all or there's no such thing as one-size-fits-all, everyone is different, you know what to come back to and say to them. You can say, yes, people are different in the way they look, their personality, etc., but we're all made up of the same stuff and you can reel off the stuff that we're all made up of. And you can read a book and learn more about this if you want to, or I can do a podcast on it. And you can also say, look at these successful coaching organizations or these successful practitioners or these successful personal trainers. They use the same system format with every single person and they get amazing results. They have a one-size-fits-all system. And they'll be like, oh yeah, I've never thought of it like that. So there you go. There's my five lies. 25-minute, 30-minute podcast here. Bit of a different one. I tried to not rant, but tried to explain myself. As I said earlier in this podcast, and as I've said throughout it, if you want any further information about any of these topics, if you want me to do a whole podcast on one of these lies that I've spoke about, I will do it for you. Just let me know, get in touch, and I can go into more detail, more science, more research. I can even get a guest on and we can cover it in more detail. Let me just realign with these five lies and repeat them to you so you've got them hardwired into your brain and you know what they are. And if you forget anything, you can listen back and you'll have all the ammo you need to go back to people when they spit these lies to you. First lie, your glutes aren't firing. Second lie, engage your core. Third lie, you want to lose weight, you've got to do interval training. Fourth lie, fat doesn't make you fat. Fifth lie, there's no one size fits all, everyone is different. There you have it. There's my five health and fitness lies. I've explained myself the best I can. And I hope you've enjoyed this. Please, if you liked this podcast episode and you found it useful, found it informative, then share it with your friends and family. I am on a mission. It is my life's mission, my life's purpose to help as many people as I can to improve their wellness, to help them to live longer, healthier, happier, and more joyful lives. And I can do that with your guys' support. If you can share this, you can spread this to other people. We're going to touch more lives and we're going to help more people. Also, don't be frightened to hit people back with the ammo that I've given you today when they say these lies to you. Finally, before I depart, if you need any more help, get in touch with me. The contact details are in the description of this podcast episode. And if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, follow, whatever format you're listening to this, whatever platform you're on listening to this. It takes 2 seconds just to click like, click subscribe or click follow, and then you'll be updated as soon as I release my next episode, you will get a notification and you can listen in, you can share it, and you can gain the knowledge to improve your health and well-being. Gonna wrap it up there. Enjoyed that. I enjoyed sharing the information with you. Bit of a different format this week, no guest, but still a great episode. And that's it for this week. I will speak to you again next Wednesday. In the meantime, stay blessed, stay healthy, stay fit, stay well, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Peace and love.